Hello, welcome to NH Exit Podcast number 8 with Alu. Hey.
Right, thanks for having me back. It's good to be back with you, Russell.
So I've been listening to your Liberty Block podcast, but I noticed that every once in a while there's like four or five people on there. So
You
then
had 10 the other day, 9 or 10.
sometimes you're not allowed to, you don't get a chance to say everything you wanted to say. So then you can go on the NH Exit podcast and unleash your tirades.
Yes, sir. That sounds pretty good. Thank you for that.
I feel like when I'm talking to Ridley, there's therapy sessions for Ridley too. So he can tell the things that he doesn't like about the federal government. So what do you think of about things that are happening right now?
Oh my God, things are crazy. I literally was just talking to my dad and my brother. I can't keep up. Someone else was canceled. Another person, Kurt Schilling, was canceled. His insurance. Someone else was just canceled. A big Federalist Society lawyer was forced to resign. And I
Wow.
think all the Federalist Society lawyers and judges, I think in the next few months, I know they're big, but big organization with power. They have judges, obviously, but I think they all might be canceled and forced to resign for, quote, inciting violence in the
Wow.
Nazis. So if all the Federalist Society judges and lawyers are forced to resign and or fired or shamed out of public society, I think the positive of that would be that a lot of conservatives would wake up and realize that we can't save the country and win back in 2022 and win midterms and all that crap, or primary people and win the primaries and MAGA, all that. I
Yeah.
think they'll wake up and realize we have to leave, as I've been saying for years. We have to secede, peaceful separation, secession, divorce, whatever you want to call it. That's still the option because we cannot live with people who dehumanize us. Now, on the show just yesterday, I can't believe I'm not hoarse. Just yesterday, we had a show on the Liberty Block, our EJS podcast, episode 30, that's uploading right now. It's already on SoundCloud on podcast, but it's uploading to video on Rumble now. It's about 2 hours the discussion at most. We had on around 9 or 10 people, a few experts from the left as well, from secession and some journalists, and we were talking about the dehumanization. We really focused on dehumanization as it relates to genocide and civil war, and a few of the experts who were more well versed in history than me, which is was everyone on that show yesterday. There's a lot more about history than I do. They explained how the Nazis in 1930s and 40s, and a lot of other genocidal governments or other regimes, how they used the dehumanization. And we have some psychology experts on the show as well, and we explained how it's. All humans have the capacity for a lot of good and a lot of evil, obviously. We all have all the potential inside of us, but you can get people to be evil to each other if you can convince them that some people or some group of people, like the Germans did to Jews and maybe blacks and gays and the gypsies, if you can convince the general public that a certain group of people are subhuman or filth or evil or violent or responsible for everything that's wrong with this world, as we're seeing in the US. Now, society being convinced that conservatives, whites, males, Christians are responsible for all that is bad in this world. So if you can dehumanize them and make them less than human in the eyes of the public, make the public see those animals, as we see right now, the left is doing to the right. And someone who was actually on the left actually took quotes, so literally quotes from Nazis saying, let's make a list. I'm saying, okay, the left is saying that I think Maxine Waters, AOC, Pelosi, they're all saying, let's make a list of all the Trump supporters, right? And let's persecute them or get them imprisoned or killed or re-education camps or concentration camps. Literally, AOC said that. So they also said they are not human, they are violent. The Nazis said it, and the left is saying it about us. So many similarities. And we had on people, a journalist who was talking about Genocide Watch, the big website that watches genocides around the world, and a lot of similarities. We're in like stage 5 or 6 out of the 10 stages in the US with, the right being persecuted and just what they're saying about us. That is what is ultimately going to lead to the persecution and or genocide. I'm not saying that the government officials are going to actually come and slaughter you and I. They may or may not. They still might, but they don't have to, because if they can get the public, the people, our own neighbors, to either kill us or ostracize us or cut off our banks, cut off our phones, get us fired, as we've seen so many people on the right doxed, I think that is what's so concerning. They are dehumanizing us. And once the public, once my own neighbors think of me as evil, subhuman, Nazi, inciting violence, then that opens the justification for them to do anything to me. And that's what's so scary.
Yeah, it seems like there's a couple of factors going on with, in they have to have that kind of propaganda at some level for every war, right? You have to say that the other guys are evil and we need to stop them. And then the other thing that I've been noticing, it seems like over the last year, we've been going through, it's not like it's a Soviet or Chinese 5-year plan. It's like a 3-month plan. You
Yeah,
know, it's
things
like
move very, very fast nowadays.
they're deciding, okay, they've got a bunch of, it's like the Wizard of Oz. He's standing in front of a bunch of levers and they're pulling levers like, okay, essential workers. Okay, we're going to decide who's essential workers. And then, okay, you have to wash your hands and then you have to stay home. And then, okay, well, that's not working very good. So, okay, we're going to relax on the essential worker lever, but then we're going to have to, but then we're going to pull this lever that says, you know, you have to wear masks. And then when they start printing money and start doing crazy things, then they went over and pulled that really crazy lever, the racism lever. And they pulled that lever and then they went, oh wow, that really happened. You know, it just gets so crazy. Then they, okay, we're gonna undo that. And you know, they're back and forth. And then it's like they're like Belinda Gates said that they didn't realize the shutdowns were going to be quite this bad. So, you know, we're having, you know, might have to step back a little bit.
Oh, they realized that people have spoken about it, mostly me, but I think some others have mentioned it. I did a big video and a big article about why destroying the economy is, serious, because it's not just about money. It's about if, as there's a recession, and I link the statistics of recessions with suicide and poor health and death, lower life expectancy, how in every country in the world, if you plot on a chart the life expectancy, which obviously ranges from like 70 or 80 in the US to like, 30, 40, 50 in Africa. And you also plot on the same graph the overall median household income or something. It's extremely related. So you can make the case that they are, causative of one another. Of course, they're related. If you have money or if you live in poverty, you're going to live less long life. You're going to die earlier, of course. So also the recession in 2008 led to, I think, 10,000 suicides or something. We wrote an article about that with all the sources. And but just another factor with COVID is so many people are afraid of going to the hospitals, and even doctors have said this. They're afraid to get their regular checkups for, the cancer screenings and all that preventative stuff, but not just preventative. There are people, and doctors have said this, people actually have chest pain and it was a heart attack, and they said, yeah, it's probably something else. If it's not a heart attack and it's just GERD or muscular or this or that or anxiety, I better not go to the ER. I don't want to catch COVID. And it was a heart attack and they died. So there are a lot of documented cases of those as well. And same with strokes. I'm a little confused and a headache and weak to one side, but maybe it's something, I don't want to go to the hospital and get COVID. But really, COVID is not that big an issue. And a stroke is one of the biggest killers in the US. It's the leading cause of disability in the US. So there's a lot of that as well. So the shutdowns, the lockdowns, and especially economically, are so devastating. And the Gates family, who should know a bit about economics and money, seeing as how they have all of it, they should have understood this. And I wrote this article months ago, so I don't believe that they didn't realize it would be so devastating. But now that Biden won, they could open back up, right?
Well, that might be the next thing, but yeah, it's hard because some of these symptoms I can't relate to, you know, because I'm not going to kill myself because of this kind of stuff. I don't go to hospitals and I haven't locked myself down. But there's people that are just sitting at home. And, you know, who knows what's going on in their minds? They're just sitting there or they're watching TV and they're told that the hospitals are dangerous and full of COVID patients. So I can see how you wouldn't go there.
Yeah, the
There's a
mental
lot.
health ramifications to people, especially children, but really to everyone in the country, everyone in the world, the mental health ramifications of these lockdowns over the past year now are going to be felt, obviously, for decades, and it's going to be so devastating. No one even quite understands just the total broad full impact that it's going to have. But you already hear about 1 or 2 year olds being developmentally impaired because they don't even see faces. So babies obviously can't understand English as well as we do. So they rely on facial expressions a lot, and they can't develop properly by not seeing or delivering facial expressions at all because of everyone's wearing masks. They might not even recognize their own goddamn mother, which is really depressing. But also not being able to play outside with other children like kids do. So many issues. The lockdowns, unless they saved like 7 billion lives, which they didn't, the lockdowns overall, as far as the net, will be a net detriment, and I think overall not worth it. But again, this is my opinion, and I'm stupid. I'm not an expert like Fauci.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, you have plenty of doctors and other people in the medical system that are talking about this kind of stuff. And it's in so many countries, right? It's in many countries. It's all over the place. And even if it was to stop now, there was ramifications. But what if it continues? Yeah, what happens with the children?
You're right. It's going to continue. I don't see this ending anytime soon. A part of me thinks that there will be some reopening. Andrew Cuomo is already saying, we can't stay closed. We got to open, you know, right after Biden's elected. There's going to be some opening, but I think the government has given itself such big an increase in power with the mask mandates and the economic shutdowns, and they realize they can control us all so much more than they ever imagined in the past. They're not going to let go of that power. Governments really never relinquish power once they have it. So you're right. I kind of see both sides to this, but I think a lot of the power grabs that we've seen from the federal and state and local governments over the past year are going to continue forever. The mask mandates themselves might continue for a few more months or years, but I think overall the power they have will never be relinquished back to us.
Yeah, in this case, it's worked for them because not enough of us have pushed back. So it's worked for them, right? More people are clinging to the government, believing their lies. So I think it'll continue until something like that changes.
Yeah, some people are and some people aren't. Here in New Hampshire, we're pretty, you know, in general, we're usually pretty independent-minded. But pretty much everyone in the U.S. has gone along with this because of all the experts and the propaganda and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sad for me to see people in cars with masks on. On my recent trip to New Hampshire, my only times I had to wear a mask was checking into two hotels in New Hampshire. I haven't had that. So I've only worn my mask twice in the last month, and they were both in New Hampshire. Because one thing that's bad about New Hampshire is too many people follow the rules. So if they have bad rules, they follow them temporarily. But overall, it was fun. And it was nice meeting you and your brother.
Yeah.
That was fun. And so back to the original thing where you're talking about people that are being canceled. Are these because they attended the event in Washington, D.C.?
I think it's just more broadly, generally, for being not a leftist Marxist authoritarian.
Yeah, how do they identify you being...
Well, that's a whole big thing of how they identify people who are not as public as you and me and Curt Schilling. When I said Curt Schilling, he was, you know, one of the biggest baseball players ever. He would be in the Hall of Fame if not for him being conservative. Then he had a little radio show. He was in Mass, so he threatened to run against Elizabeth Warren for Senate. He was very strongly considering it. Of course, in Massachusetts, he wouldn't have won, but being a Red Sox, essentially a Hall of Famer, he obviously had a lot of public support in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And he started writing a column for Breitbart, I think, for a while. So he was very involved in Breitbart. I think he had a little show on Breitbart, too. So, you know, he was very, very public. Curt Schilling has been outspoken for a while. He was on ESPN calling baseball games, I guess, and he was thrown off of that for being conservative. So he's been pretty open-minded for you know, 5-10 years now, maybe more. So, you know, some people are very open about it. And we all know I have a big mouth, and I'm in media. I've been in media since I got to the radio studio in 2017. So for me, for the big tech masters of the universe to find out that I am pro-freedom would not be very difficult. But you asked an interesting question that my brother had a smart epiphany the other day. And I think I included this in our big article on the Facebook band of how do they find that, right? Because there are roughly 50 to 100 million people in the U.S. who are at least somewhat conservative or Republican. They're not pro-freedom like you and I. You're not voluntarist or libertarian. But people who are not totally obedient or on board with the dogma of supporting the left and Marxism or Biden, how do they identify those 100 million, right? Now, you probably know more about AI and algorithms and everything than I do. I'm very low tech. I know very, very little about this stuff. But because almost everything we say now is heard by our phones and laptops and maybe TVs, and everything we write is captured by cookies or by something else on our phones or laptops, right? They know everything we type, the keyboard tracking BS, right? So this isn't even conspiracy stuff anymore. You know, it's all being tracked, which is fine. So our laptops and phones know everything we type, especially on things like WhatsApp, which guess who bought WhatsApp a few months ago?
Yeah, well, it's Facebook, right?
Facebook bought WhatsApp a few
Yeah.
months or a few years ago, right? So remember how Facebook a few days ago banned like a ton of people around a week ago, including my dad, who
Well,
never uses Facebook?
that happened to me. I mean, I've never been banned on something like that, but on Facebook, I can't click any buttons.
Interesting.
It
So
just it's
I was
happening too
asking, people were
fast and
asking, like, even those who literally never use Facebook or were banned for 30 days or didn't use it in 30 days or only use it for business and not politics, how did they find out those people were conservative? Either, so again, because of it's 100 million people, it has to be AI, right? Zuckerberg himself
well.
and his employees are not looking, they're not investigating or hiring a PI to investigate 100 million people. What I think it was, and my brother Laser had a great idea, is that maybe they looked at all the WhatsApp and they looked at all everyone's messages because around 2 days prior to this, they put out a big statement saying they're updating their privacy policy of WhatsApp, saying they can look at all your information and use it for everything. So in like a day or two later, they banned everyone. So it might have been that they looked at it and AI algorithms found out based on what they typed the messages, like, hey, I'm pro freedom, I like guns, I like low taxes, and I'm not voting for Biden, I like Trump, hashtag MAGA. If they saw that in your WhatsApp messages, and it's all linked to your Facebook account, of course, because everything's connected now, and they updated the privacy policy and admitted they're going to start looking at everything in your WhatsApp messages, and then the
Well,
next day or 2 days, throw one on Facebook for it.
those have been features of Facebook forever, and WhatsApp might be even worse.
But now they connect to WhatsApp and Facebook, and they updated the privacy policy.
And I'm not doing WhatsApp, of course. But I'm thinking more these people that are getting fired, like you're saying, these people at the beginning that are getting fired. How are they deciding that? They
Oh,
decided that on social
more, that's not
media.
like a big AI. That's more on an individual basis. And that the left is inciting their base, which again is 50 to 100 million people in the US,
Yeah.
to and they're telling them if your neighbor, your friend, your relatives voted for Trump or don't like Biden or support, you know, low taxes or freedom or freedom of speech or gun rights, or if they're Christian, God forbid, get them fired. Go to their boss and say they're right-wing extremists, they're terrorists, white nationalists, Nazis, inciting violence, they're bigots, and get them fired. And they report them to the bosses, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but a lot of them get fired. So, you know, I've already resigned to the fact that someone's going to try to get me fired in the next, you know, few weeks or months, and we're all going to get fired eventually. And it's a scary
Yeah.
time because we wouldn't even think of, honestly, it's never crossed my mind getting a leftist fired for being a leftist. Short of seeing someone like murder someone in the streets, I wouldn't want to get someone fired unless they were a murderer. But again, like I said in the beginning of this conversation, they've successfully dehumanized us and painted us successfully as being violent extremists just for the virtue of not supporting Biden. Because I did, you know, I don't even support Trump, but just by not supporting Biden or Marxism, anyone who does not support that is a right-wing extremist terrorist who's inciting violence. And they've successfully done it because they have the media and the all the institutions on their side.
Well, like the thing on the six, they portrayed that as white supremacist, so then they can decide that you're bad just because you're white, when I didn't see any white supremacy in the little clips I saw. And you know, there's just maybe there was a bunch of white people, but what does that mean?
Yep,
You know?
this is what I say about the whole US. The entire US is, throughout the US, they have successfully essentially tied the concept of being pro-freedom or conservative or anything to the right of Marx and AOC and Bernie. They've successfully made it a synonym. If it's a synonym, if you're on the right of Bernie, you are a violent right-wing extremist, which by definition, you know, not everyone could be an extremist because it's not extreme, but whatever.
Yeah.
So
Well,
this
that's
makes
what they're
sense. Someone would
calling
have
them.
to.
Yeah, that's not an accurate term, but that's what they say.
Yeah, and they say we're all violent by virtue of being, you know, not pro-socialism and equality. And again, I realized I've been in this political thing for a few years, and I realized that it's finished, it's over, it's not salvageable, and it's only getting worse. They hate us. They don't just disagree with us. See, my conservatives who are naive and overly optimistic and think they're gonna, you know, flip California back red again and take over New York, New Jersey, and replace everyone
Yeah,
in office with
I
good
don't think
Republicans.
we can make it through little machinations or plans or schemes inside the system. Like for us, if we're giving up on big chunks of the country or big chunks of things, but we want to have an area like New Hampshire, how can then we need to start convincing people around us of the facts, right? We're going to have to start heading that way, hearts and minds of the normal people that were around, get them off the mainstream media narrative.
Yep, and that's why I'm so pessimistic, and I have to make everyone a little more pessimistic, because people in New Hampshire and all over the U.S. think that we can still save the whole U.S., and that's just the diluting our resources, and it's delusional futility, because it's futile, obviously, to try to save the whole country, because the U.S. at large, either it's 80% or 90%, but the U.S. is convinced that if you are pro-freedom, you are either psychotic. You know, conservatives may not think I'm dangerous. They think I'm psychotic because I believe in no taxes and no gun laws. So I'm too pro-freedom for them. So the U.S. doesn't agree with us. Those who support freedom should focus on one tiny town or county or tiny state like New Hampshire instead of just spinning our wheels and trying to save the whole country. That's overly optimistic. So right now, my goal I've been doing the last few years is trying to make everyone realize the pessimistic reality. And once we face the facts and admit there's a problem, then we can move on to solve it.
Well, yeah, because it'd be successful if we were to have just a small remnant, a small area. You know, yeah, we're not going to do the whole thing. So, yeah. Well, I don't know if letting you rant for 15 minutes has helped you.
Oh, it's definitely helped.
But it has been informative. Well, I'm glad we got a chance to talk, Alu. I know even though you do get outlets that you don't always get to say all the stuff you want to say, but I knew you could only do it for a little while today, but I'm glad we got to talk.
Yeah, thank you so much, and keep up the awesome work and stay in touch and come on our show as well anytime you want.
Yes, I'll be doing that soon.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, bye.